Hello, 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 and welcome to Dose of Lay Podcast. I am your host, Halle Monique, who indeed does the absolute most, and I could not be more excited to be here with you guys on today. I have been looking forward to this episode all week long. Guys, today is Father's Day, so first off, happy Father's Day to all you amazing dads. You are loved and appreciated, and no matter if you are celebrated on today or any other day for that matter, that is not a true reflection of the amazing father you are. So keep pushing, keep getting better for those kids. I promise you, your presence is so, so necessary. Thank you for all you do. You are seen and you are loved, whether you hear it often or not. Please keep going, okay? So, some may know that not only is Father's Day in the month of June, but June is also Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. And while this is a subject that has not always been super near and dear to my heart, that changed some years back when I actually lost two men to suicide. Within a year, I lost two of my very, very best friends. And when I tell you, my life has forever been changed since then. Being someone that they confided in on several different matters, being someone that was truly close to them in intimate spaces, I know how hard it is. The conversations that I have with the men in my life, whether it is someone who is in my life for a long time, for a short time, an in-between time, or if I'm at the grocery store and the gas station having a conversation, for whatever reason, people feel oddly comfortable talking to me. So I have been able to get a lot of insight in different areas and aspects of mental health when it comes to men and how they actually operate. And I know that men are not as expressive as women. We are so emotional as women, but men really do have feelings. I know they may seem cold. I know they may seem so mean and angry and hard at times, but that is because that is the way that they have been shaped and molded for majority of their lives. So today is all about supporting them, pouring into them, and caring for them, because again, as I said, their presence is absolutely necessary no matter the situation. So before I get into this episode, I want you to know firstly that this episode is going to be structured a little bit differently. I will not be having the segment What's Lay Have to Say Today. I did reach out to several men and have them give me questions that I can ask on here today and answer for you guys. And I didn't want to just pick one, two, or three because, to be honest, the boys showed up and showed out, honey. I have so many questions, so I'm going to be answering all of them on this episode today. But before we get into the thick of it, I want to take a quick pause and ask that you all send this episode to at least two men in your lives. Ladies, I know it's easy. You could just go in the DMs, honestly. Yes, sis. You send it to your daddy and send it to your man. If you don't have a man, go on them DMs and send it to two people and say, be blessed, happy Father's Day. That's it. You don't have to respond after that. Just bless their soul with this. I promise you, they're going to appreciate it, okay? And my boys, send it to two of your homeboys. It's not hard. It's not hard. I would truly, truly appreciate y'all to do that so we can share this word and continue to spread this support and put this topic in a more visible space, okay? Again, I always pray before I come on here and talk to y'all. I pray throughout the week as I am taking notes and putting things down to prep for my episodes. So I am not coming on here just to tell you how I personally feel about things. I thank God each day that He has given me an open-minded spirit where I can actually be in situations or really think outside of things, okay? So I'm not going to be talking from a place where, you know, I have been tainted or my lenses have been tainted by situations or relationships. I truly, truly, truly see the importance of men in society and in our lives. A man in the structure of a home, in the family unit, is so important. God has set clear lines for the way things are supposed to go and the way things a family unit is supposed to produce things, okay? And in no way, shape, or form is it in the Bible at any point saying that a man is not supposed to be involved in that. Now, I know life happens clearly because I'm a single mom who works the world and loves her kids and never stops. Things happen, you know, relationships end, but that does not change the fact of the presence being needed, okay? I fully support the whole concept of partnership, the whole concept of covenant, okay? It is so important and detrimental to our communities, all right? These kids need to see healthy relationships with, they need to have healthy relationships with their dad, first of all. They need to have healthy relationships with their moms, but they also need to see healthy relationships within the two, okay? Whether y'all are together or not, these kids deserve to see healthy depictions of love and respect from their parents. What we show our kids is what they will then in turn produce on their own. We can't just talk about it. We real life have to be about it. And while I know it is hard and that life weighs us down, childhood traumas weigh us down, responsibilities weigh us down, this today is going to be something to fill your spirit and hopefully lift you up or give you at least a different type of perspective, okay? So I hope y'all sent it to y'all boys. I'm gonna go ahead and get started, right? So I'm gonna touch on a couple topics before I get to the questions. The first topic being men's mental health. And yeah, it is so important to me, and I want people to realize that the numbers don't lie, okay? So, first of all, the male species takes up 50% of the population. If we're going to be specific, it is 50.4% of the population. But men take up 80% of suicides. Yes, men take up 80% of suicides. That is two-thirds of suicides are men. And that's not even counting attempts. And it saddens me that when I say these numbers, it really hits home, because not only do I have two people I lost to suicide, two men that I lost to suicide, I also have had countless conversations with men who have attempted or at least even thought about it. So we have to get to the root of this. Clearly, it's big, ugly dude. Clearly, it's the devil. Clearly. But how can we support our men in a way and cultivate a healthy space for them to feel as though they can be vulnerable and it not be seen as weak? How can we cultivate a space, not just women, but men as well? How can you cultivate a space where your brother can come to you and feel like he won't get judged, or that what he expresses to you won't get pushed away? How can we do that? So hopefully we can find out a way where we can come to a level ground and have a solid foundation and a plan to implement to move further, not just outwardly, but inwardly, within our homes, within our interpersonal relationships. Okay, so thinking about the number 80% is absolutely wild. And it is something that I feel as though isn't discussed often because people are uncomfortable with it. But it is time to get comfortable with the things that are uncomfortable. It's crazy because that is something that has been in my spirit for a long time. And this year in January, my pastor actually presented that as like the goal and motto for the year, becoming comfortable with what's uncomfortable. That's how you break chains, man. That's how you break cycles. You got to get out of your own way. You really gonna have to assess the things that have been holding you back, no longer make excuses, and really move differently so we can see differently, okay? These numbers have to go down. We're gonna have to talk about it. We're gonna have to be there for each other. You know how many people leave us because of this? And like, people that they knew and people that come to their funerals don't even know, because we think we're keeping it a secret out of respect? No, they need to know. They need to know. People need to know that this is something real and that this is something that is detrimental to us as a people, okay? Though we don't always have the best interactions and relationships between mothers and fathers, again, fathers are so necessary. They are, and they should feel necessary. So, we're gonna get to a couple things that basically cultivate and mold the men that we see today, okay? And one thing that I can say I have heard across the board is about the expectations that men feel as though they have to reach. And I spoke about this on another episode in regard to parents basically kind of shaping our identity of self through the way that they talk to us, the way that they raise us, treat us, and mold us. Whereas a little boy could be 6 foot in the fifth grade and everyone's going to look at him and be like, oh, he needs to play ball. Baby, get him a basketball. Get him on the court right now, today. If he's getting in trouble at school, sometimes that's actually promoted and applauded because he's just being a boy. Oh, he's just being a, what does that even mean? We're sitting here putting titles on things and equate it to a gender role, and that's not healthy. If the boy's not fighting, oh yeah, he need a man up. He need a man up. He not tough enough. If the boy don't want to play sports, then all of a sudden he's too feminine. What if the baby want to play the ukulele? He was a man at birth. That doesn't make him any less of a boy or any less of a man. Like, we have to stop putting these constructs on identifying what is manly or what is feminine. Oh, you too soft. He crying. He too soft. Because he has emotions? God filled us all with those. You're not in touch with them? That's not healthy. And a lot of these expectations that are placed on men in general are from unhealed men. They were raised by unhealed men. I read something one day that said, a child's first enemy is an unhealed parent. And when I tell you, I can never unsee that, because it is so real. The damaging effects of people who have been traumatized, scrutinized, and abused, being tasked with raising children and then pouring that same pain and hurt into them. And now we have more grown adults and more grown men who are in turn living out their trauma through the way that they have relationships with women, through the way that they have relationships and interactions with their children. And it is hard. It is so hard, because you have to know better in order to do better. But if the person who was tasked with the responsibility of raising and pouring into you poured from an empty cup and then gave you things you never asked for, gave you weight to carry that you never asked for, how do you let that go? And I think the first way to let it go is, one, to assess yourself and to address it. Who are you? For real. Not the person you are on the internet or the person you are at the workplace, the person you are when you out and about and in the streets. Not that person. I'm talking about the person who is in that room by himself. That person who gets up, brushes his teeth, washes his face, and looks in that mirror. Who are you? I know that there is so much pressure for you to perform. Perform, perform. You have to do, you have to do, you have to give, you have to give, you have to spend this, you have to pay for that, you have to build this, you have to look like this, you have to act like this, but you can't be hurt, you can't cry, there's no time for that. I'm gonna be weak if I do this, I'm gonna be weak if I look like that. I can't go to this person because then they're gonna think that I'm too soft. Who can I look up to? I know, but you're gonna have to at some point slow down. You're gonna have to slow down. You're going to have to figure out in that solitude within yourself who you are and who you want to be. Because again, we can't just tell our kids to be this. We have to show our kids through our actions and who we show up as every single day. And we have to stop putting a man's identity and put it in the same realm as their performance. And I'm going to give y'all men a tip right now. Me being a woman, I'm going to tell y'all. Y'all think that women are so difficult and so hard. And we are. At times we can be. And it's also because of the traumas and the things that we have had to go through and experience. So then we have a tainted relationship with ourselves and with you as well. And we don't trust because of some things that we've been through. But one thing that a woman wants across the board is consistency. We don't want the performance. We want the consistency. We want you to show up for us and continue to show up for us so we can build that safe space for y'all. I really hate that God did his biggest one when he paired us up together. He knew that we could be power couples, that we could be kingdom spouses. He knew what we could build. He wanted us to build his kingdom up for him. And that's as far as the people we touch, the people we speak to, and the kids that we raise. We are building his kingdom. But life and society has broken that covenant. They have broken it down and watered it down. Men are raised thinking that they're strong or they that dude because they sleeping with six different women. Men are raised to think that, oh, they can lead by just being loud and forceful and aggressive, that there's no space for them to be soft. There's no space for them to be emotional. There's no space for them to just be, And in turn, because all of the things that they've went through and all of the things that shape them and give them the skewed identity, they treat women a certain way, which makes us treat them a certain way, not allowing that space for vulnerability. So then what? We have to all unlearn to relearn, because we cannot continue to let trauma be played out and lived out in our relationships and in our lives. The amount of people who are holding on to things that they never asked for, just imagine. And something else that I always hear when it comes to me talking to different men is that they don't feel like they're enough. They don't feel like they're enough. And whether they say it out of their mouths or if they say it from their actions or if I just see it in your eyes, they don't feel like they're enough. No matter what they do, they don't feel like they are enough. We have to take accountability for the roles that we play in everyone's lives, okay? So who are you going to be in the situation or in the relationship? Are you going to be the one that sits quietly and listens? Or are you going to be the one that's combative and just wants to be heard? And I'll tell you from personal experience, your girl loves to talk. I got a mouthpiece on me, clearly. But I have been learning and really practicing the art of silence. It is something that has been hard for me my whole life because due to things I have gone through, I just want to be heard. I want to say my piece because for the longest I did not. For the longest I had so many things happen to me and I was silent about it. Things I didn't speak about for years. When I was younger, I would get picked on and wouldn't even say anything. Wouldn't even use my voice to sing. Wouldn't even use my voice to speak up for myself. I wouldn't. So as I've become older, I ended up gaining that oomph within myself and that confidence where, baby, if you know me, Halle is going to say how she feels anytime. Don't give me no type of microphone. Don't give me the floor. Because if you're going to ask me how I feel, I'm going to tell you how I feel. I am no longer one of those people where they be like, how you doing? Could be horrible. Oh, I'm good. No, I'm going to express to you when I feel a way about something, and that should be okay. And a man should be able to express how he feels to me, and that should be okay. Like, we have to find that happy medium where we can really listen to understand people and think outside of ourselves. And also, we have to stop thinking that everything is about us. It's not. Sometimes it has nothing to do with you at all. So just be quiet, take it in, listen, and ask, how can I help? What do you need me to do? Because we have to form these relationships that are based on a foundation of communication and trust. And right now, it is hard for women and men to trust each other. That's why we have to involve God in our interactions as well. When you think that there's nothing else for you to do, or there's nothing left to do, or there's no way that you can make it through situations, or you don't know what to do in a specific situation, you should be seeking God before anything else. Sometimes that's the thing that's missing. When you're like, why can't this person understand me? Maybe it's not for them to understand you. That's why you have to seek God before putting certain people in your life. We are to be equally yoked, not just with our partners, but with our friendships and our interactions with people, like people that play a part in our lives in general as well. You are to be equally yoked. And me as a kid thinking yolk had to do with an egg is crazy, but you know, kids think the craziest things. But within growing and learning and hearing about the representation of two oxen being yoked together and one that is weaker being yoked with the stronger one, and seeing how that works out and strengthens the other, teaches the other, grows the other, it really makes you expand your knowledge on the people that you link up with. And it is necessary for men to be around good men. Good men who add value, okay, and will uphold you to the man that you are supposed to be, okay? So sometimes you will have to separate yourself when you want to be a better man, a better father, and a better husband. You're going to have to separate yourself. Again, that's unlearning to relearn. Now, if y'all hear me flipping, that's because your girl got buku notes, okay? She has buku notes, right? So one thing I will say bothers me deep down to my soul. This is the one thing. It's the, oh, I'm him thing. It's the, I'm him thing. It's the, I'm him movement. I want you to be him so bad. I want you to be him real bad. But if you are not modeling your life after Christ, if you are not being kind, being generous, going after your purpose, fulfilling the needs of those around you, fulfilling yourself with the word of God, so you can stand strong in his word, and you can carry out the task that he gives you with strength. If you're not doing those things, baby, we're going to have to work on it. So like maybe just backspace the I'm him and put your name behind it. I'm Zach. I'm Tim. I'm Bob. I'm George. Hey, George. Like let's be for real. And I know women do it too, because women all on the internet and all in real life talking about they the baddest and I'm a bad this and I'm a bad that. Even as far as the women who express themselves as being Proverbs 31 women, but you haven't read Proverbs 31 to adhere to the description and the depiction of who she is. So like, yeah, let's just be more realistic. We all got to start somewhere with being honest. That's how you're going to make a change, is by really doing the inner work, being honest with yourself, and whatever you think needs to be changed or tweaked a little bit, you do it and you keep it moving. And that's how you become him or her, the baddest, whatever. Right. So also, women, we have to be supportive in our words. I know we talk a lot. I just spoke on us listening. But when we do open up our mouths to speak, regardless of how we feel internally, we need to be mindful of the things that we say. Our words and our tongue have the power to tear down. And one thing about it, whether a man will tell you to your face or not, them words will cut like a sword, and those men are less forgiving because they have pride. Should they have pride? They should not. None of us should have pride. Where love exists, there is no pride. But these men will be hurt and not say nothing to you. And when I tell you they will hold on to it till the end of time, the land before time, girl. So we have to be cautious, because the same way we want to be treated like the daughters of Christ that we are, period, flips hair, we are also armed with the task of caring for and tending to the sons of God. Okay? I know it's hard sometimes when they don't carry themselves in the way that they should, but sometimes we don't carry ourselves in the way that we should. So, I mean, if we are working on being our best, I mean, we can only go up, right? Right. So let's all assess our lives, and we need to also assess where we are planting ourselves. Are we planting ourselves in good soil or not? So let me go ahead and get into some of these questions. I know this episode is probably going to be one of my longest, if not the longest. I don't even know how long we've been rolling for now. But I want to answer these questions because, for one, they were really, really good. Some were a little funny and some was like, boy, please. But I'm going to address all of them. With the first one being, why are women so crazy? That was the boy, please one. Because what? No. But really, why are women so crazy? That's funny. That's probably the funniest one I have. But I mean, while some people really are diagnosed with certain things, honey, others really have been through a lot. And regardless of how you treat them, they don't know how to reciprocate that because they haven't been shown that, and it's not healthy and it's not okay. And hopefully, you know, the person would be willing to change and see where they need to improve upon certain things. And it may just not be for, you know, y'all to be together, but you know, a lot of people go through a lot and they don't know how to love outside of that. They don't know how to act outside of that. A lot of women have been in abusive situations and they feel like that is love. So when you're not going upside their head, they acting crazy because they like, well, why he not putting his hands on me? I thought he loved me. Why he not cussing me out? I thought he loved me. So then she's giving you what she's trying to get back. And that is something I can say is it happens a lot with women and men. You will try to love somebody into the way that you want to be loved. Now, this specific representation is not healthy at all. But even someone who is as far as a giver, you will sit there and give and give and give and give and give and give and give. And that might not even be that person's love language for real. That might not be how they receive love. And also, you're not communicating well because instead of saying, hey, babe, this will make me feel this type of way, you just doing the action and expecting it to automatically be mirrored back to you. And that is not how that happens. It's not. Now, I will say men will do certain things. Sometimes y'all will do some things to trigger us and y'all be wondering why we crazy. But women are literally wired to reciprocate. So whatever you give us, we're going to multiply. So that's why it is important for you to be the best you can be, but also learn and gain your identity and get into that word so you can know how you're supposed to move as a man and how you're supposed to move as a husband, a father, and a man of God. So what you reflect, what you give to us, we can reflect back and it'll be a glorious situation if you're in the right situation and you have planted yourself in that healthy soil. Because we all put ourselves sometimes in situations where we don't belong and we just expect the best. And it's not going to be the best because we didn't even console Jesus on it. Okay. So the next question, why does the man never feel like he can do enough? I feel like a man feels like he can never do enough, again, because of those expectations that were placed on them from people who were unhealthy, including us women who are not healed. And we place expectations on men who are not capable of certain things. Sometimes we want things from people that they just honestly cannot give. And we also will expect a man to love us down to the ground, and he don't love himself. You're jumping into a relationship with an unhealed person and you're expecting for it to flourish. And that is wild. It's wild. Nothing you do will ever be enough to a person who is not already fulfilled, one, by Christ, and is confident in who they are themselves. You can never give them enough. They're always going to want more and more and more and more because what you give them does not satisfy them. So also you need to think about it as a man on your side. Why do you personally feel like you're not giving enough? Because sometimes you will be giving all that you have and it is appreciated and it is cherished, but you don't feel as though you are reaching those false expectations that were placed on you. Yeah, it's cute calling yourself Superman, this, that, and the third, but even Superman requires rest, babe. It's okay to lay it down. It is okay to disarm sometimes. It is. It absolutely is. And if somebody feels a way about that, that's how you know that's not your person. Everyone requires rest. You do the most for yourself. You do the most for the people around you. You do the most for your family. You do the most for your kids. You working, working, working. Lay it down. Lay it down. And anybody that knows me or has been involved with me, I will tell you, lay it down. The work is going to be there. Love the work ethic, but lay it down, okay? Sometimes enough is actually enough. And that goes to the next question. What is enough? Enough. Enough is enough. That's what enough is. Enough is enough. Like, there's no other way to answer that. I feel like people put certain caps or certain limits on certain things and have these certain requirements. But that's things that y'all have to discuss between yourselves. I don't feel like there is a universal place to say when you do this, this, and this, that is enough. Unless we're going to go to the word. And again, once you get in the word and you see what the Lord has called you to do, if you meet those requirements, you Gucci, babe. That's it. Enough is enough. So what does being a good man mean? A good man, I feel like, is saying good is subjective because I may say one thing, another person may say another. So again, that's why it is important to be in your word. So you can follow what the Lord says is the contributions and the description of a good man. A good man is going to honor God always. He's going to go to God always. So he's going to be living his life out in the way that God has told him to. That's going to be a good man. I tell people all the time, at one point in life, somebody could have asked me, what's your type? And I would have been like, above 6 feet, dark skin, waves, pretty teeth, you know, a little weight on him, great job, loves Jesus, is a great dad, you know, drives X, Y, and Z. Back when you're ignorant, like, and you're looking for these worldly things, like, that's crazy. You ask me now, what's my type? A man of God. And I don't mean a man that's just in the church and his character doesn't fit that bill outside of church, because one thing we'll do is adjust to our surroundings, honey. We'll be clubbing all night on Saturday. We jigging the pieces on a Saturday evening, okay? And then we in church on Sunday, hands lifted in the air. It's not cohesive. It is not cohesive. It's not. Or you'll be in church and been a met a man, and this is speaking from a woman's perspective right here. You'll be in church and meet a man, and you think that he presents as this man of God, and then outside of church, he's overly sexual. He's lustful. He's not in his word. He's not matching up with the things that God has said a good man of God would do. Like, it's a difference in you knowing God and going to church and you actually having a relationship and being in obedience with what he is telling you to do and in the way that you live your life. But the crazy thing is, we make it hard for ourselves because we think if it feels good, do it. So I'm going to be out here having sex, sleeping with this person, going to the club this night, getting drunk here, doing this, that, and the third. And am I judging? No. But is it right with the Lord? It's absolutely not. And I tell people all the time, please don't ever think I'm trying to condemn anyone, because your girl was doing it not too long ago. I absolutely was. I absolutely was. Am I doing any of those things now? I'm absolutely not, because I tried doing life on my own and it didn't work. I tried to be the best mom I could be. And though people have always told me I'm such a great mom, this, that, and the third, I'm the best mom I could ever be, because now I have God in my life for real. It's not somebody I just visit on the weekends on a Sunday on that second pew in the second seat. If you know, you know. I intertwine and I involve God in every aspect of my life. And whether you are a man or a woman, that is where you find your identity. That is where you find your value, because can't nobody tell me nothing about Halle that God hasn't told me or shown me already. My worth is not in the men that I'm involved with, though we're not involved. Okay, we're waiting on the Lord. But my value is not in the men that I am involved with. My value is not in the good vibes I can give a man, or the good feelings I can give a man, or how much I can drink, or the sexy pictures I can post. I have truly been being convicted of so many things. And as I am convicted, I make those shifts and I make those changes. Because as I get closer to God, I know I'm becoming and being more beautiful in him and perfect in him. He doesn't expect us to come to him perfect. He wants us to be broken, and he's going to fill the cracks. Okay? I done got off tangent, but a word is a word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So next. When does being a good man turn into him being taken advantage of? Immediately, if you're dealing with the wrong woman. Okay, that one was easy. Why do women ask what's wrong with a man and then flip it on him? Lacks emotional intelligence and selfish in general, if you ask me. We've all done it. I feel like women are manipulative by nature. It's not a good quality to have. And a lot of men have it as well. And oddly, we're going to talk about that at another time. Because I'm going to keep it a stack. I'm going to always keep it a stack, okay? I'm a girl's girl. But right is right and wrong is wrong. And as I'm thinking about it, I feel like women are naturally manipulative to a certain extent. And how they use it is to their discretion. You really shouldn't use it at all, sis. But how they use it is to their discretion. But women are manipulative by nature. And then when you see that type of prototype in a man, when you see that type of characteristic in a man, it's labeled as narcissism. I'm sorry, that just came to me, but let's keep moving. And I have dealt with some narcissists. I'm not lying. It's still narcissistic, for real. And I feel like people use that word and they don't really look at Webster and see what it really means. But now that I'm thinking about it, It is literally that character in a man is labeled as narcissism. Okay, but moving along, because that's not our point. We'll talk about it at another time. But again, I'm going to keep it a stack every time. But yeah, it's being manipulative. Like, you care and you want to hear what's wrong. But then now it's like a battle of who's more hurt. So, like, why did you even ask? You know? So that also isn't creating that safe space for you to be able to have those transparent and honest conversations where it's not just talking, but it's actually problem solving and healing coming from it. Okay. So we got to change that. So I also want to let the men know real quick before going to the next question, baby, don't be afraid to ask for what you need. If you don't ask, you'll starve. If you need support, say it, say it. Just say it. I know it's uncomfortable, but that's why you have to be careful about who you are in cahoots with, honey. Make sure that you're with a person of quality, with a person of great characteristics, so you don't have to have that internal battle and feel alone. You should not be in a relationship or lay in the bed next to anyone who you cannot be vulnerable with, okay? So I know it may take some time. It may take some therapy. It's going to take a lot of prayer and a lot of diving in the word. But I'm telling you, it is worth it. You will feel free to live your whole life in the shackles of something that you did not build. You are locked in the restraints and in the confinements of what people raised you on. It's time to break free from that. We have kids to raise. We got stuff to do. We have a kingdom to build. We got to get to it, y'all. So next question, why do women think men should maintain a certain level of treatment after being disrespected? It's one thing to make a mistake, but a habit if continued. So yes, it is one thing to make a mistake. And of course, anything you do over time, you know, multiple times becomes routine and becomes a habit. It's habitual. But why do women think men should maintain a certain level of treatment after disrespect? I don't feel as though that is I feel like that's a generalized question. I don't feel like every woman thinks that. I will say that some women, again, who lack the emotional intelligence and the relational experience, they are used to a certain cycle, honestly. And when you are in a relationship where it is not the healthiest or it's toxic and you guys have hurt each other and then just went back like nothing ever happened, y'all didn't really talk about it, or y'all didn't really heal, y'all didn't really repair, y'all just got back to it like, you know, nothing changed. When you're tired of that cycle, she's still on it. She still think, oh, I can talk to him like this, go upside his head, throw this TV at his head, key his car up. And because he came to my house and we slept together the next day, we're going to continue to do this. So, yeah, he should still be paying my bills, this, that, and the third, even though I just threw this brick into his mama window. Yes, he should still be paying for me to get my nails done after I went and slashed his tires, because you were allowing that. So if you started this cycle, either you're going to hop off of it and move around, or I mean, it's not going to stop. It's going to take two people to stop that. And to be honest, yes, it's unfair, but also people grow and people move on. So if you're in a situation where you feel like the woman is steady asking you to treat her a certain way after she has truly been disrespectful to you, baby, move around. I highly recommend you move around, okay? So what's another one? I have some on my phone also. Let's see. I want to get to the really good ones, because one person asked a really amazing question that is going to give me kind of the close of the whole episode. Let me answer one more and then we're going to get to his and get to closing this and wrapping this on up, because I know I've been talking for hours and hours and hours. It feels like it, at least. So, question. I don't even know what number question this is. We just rolling. Okay, so the vulnerability of men is needed. How do we create the environment for it and understand the difference between weakness and vulnerability? That is a great question. So vulnerability is absolutely needed, okay? Because again, you're teaching your sons how they should relate and how they should act and how they should move in life and in relationships. So they need to see that their dad can be transparent and be vulnerable in different spaces, especially with their mom, right? And with them as well. If you do something wrong to your kid, you should be able to apologize and take ownership of the action that you did, right? So I feel like in order to create that environment to be able to nourish that is, for one, again, taking accountability. For two, making sure that you are in healthy soil, okay? You're not just planting yourself just anywhere. We can't plant ourselves in a desolate situation and expect for things to grow from it. We just can't. So make sure that you are pairing yourself up with a woman of God, a woman that means well, a woman who can care for you and your household. So no matter what you've been through, at some point you feel as though like, she got me. She do got me. She got me. And I know it's easier said than done, but people don't always use discernment when involving themselves with people. And again, you expect them to embrace you and not throw things back in your face. Or when y'all get in a fight, you bring it up and now you're getting called weak and you're getting called soft and all these things. But you aligned yourself with a person you were never even supposed to be with. So I feel like it all takes discernment. The root of it all takes discernment that comes from God. Consider him in all ways. Acknowledge him in all ways. Include him in all things. So you can be in a situation where it can be successful and you can be that vulnerable person. It's so many men that I know and talk with that they're holding on from things from childhood, things that their dad did or didn't do, times that their dad showed up or didn't show up. You don't have to be that guy and you don't have to hold on to that. That is not your weight to carry. I know grown men still trying to prove themselves to their dads in their 40s, still hurt. Still haven't had the conversation, but you just want him to be proud of you. And now this is getting poured into your other relationships and it's failing your other relationships because the people that you trusted, your mama who didn't look out for you, your daddy that never showed up for you, the people that you trusted as a little boy, they wasn't there for you. So if I can't trust them, how can I rock out with you? And then this cycle continues and continues and continues. So please be mindful of where you plant yourself. And I told one of my homeboys before, I hope he's listening to this. I told one of my homeboys before, he is a married individual. And I will say this. He does not always move as a married individual. Of course, we are not saying no names, no descriptions, anything. But this person does not always move as a married individual. And one day I had to talk with him and tell him, you are a quality man. This man works hard. This man has his hands in a lot of things. He is a really cool guy. He's kind. He has so many great qualities. When I tell you, value. He has so much value. But because of certain situations, he doesn't move like that man of value. That man of valor doesn't show all the time. So you're involving yourselves in situations with people that aren't even worthy of being in your presence. You're literally decreasing to get a feeling from people that shouldn't even be around you. You're involving yourself in situations and not embracing what the Lord has for you. You're not including him in your ways. Therefore, you're falling back and you're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do. Because the devil don't want you in that house with your wife, raising them kids in the right way. The devil wants you to be tired on a Sunday from work and doesn't want you to get into that church house. The devil doesn't want you going to the men's meetings. He doesn't want you respecting and honoring your wife and being faithful to your wife. He wants it to be turmoil. Okay, because a good marriage is a reflection of who? God, not him. He wants it to be messiness. He wants it to be trials and tribulations and distrust. He wants to have those times where he can whisper in your ear and give you that temptation. Temptation will never leave you. Temptation will never leave a man or a woman. But that's where your character kicks in. That's where your character kicks in. Yeah. Shorty fine. She fine. She bad for real. And she just walked past me smelling good. And I see her on the internet. I see her like liking my post, this, that, and the third. It is too easy to fall into that. It's harder to be that man of God. It's harder to be that great husband who is faithful to his wife. And the thing about it is, y'all can play all day if y'all want to, but the word of God is the word of God. And God is not gonna honor you for messing over his daughter. He's not. That is not what he called you to do. He says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You're not going to be favorable when you in the streets, my guy. You're not. You're just absolutely not. So I really have had to take time to really like let him know and pour into him that he is of value, not just his wife being the prize, but he is of value also. And a man should carry himself as such. Shouldn't everybody be able to touch you? Shouldn't everybody have access to you? Shouldn't everybody be able to say they done slept with you? I don't care. The same way you want your wife to be this specific woman who, you know, her name around town is just, oh, she's amazing, she's kind, she's beautiful, oh, she has all of these different accolades. That's the same thing a woman wants. A woman wants a quality man. She don't want to be nervous to say her husband's name out loud. Like, be so for real. So, the next question that's going to get us to a close is, again, probably my favorite. Let me get to it because it's going to take us right on into the word. So the question is, they have all of these Bible verses about the man being responsible for a household spiritually, physically, mentally, and financially. But what does the Bible say to do when you're tired, worn out, stressed, and scared that you are failing to live up to the standard that God has for you as a man, father, leader of the household? Did you hear that? I could have really did the whole episode on that one question alone. I honestly could have. So, your girl pulled it together and you wanted scripture verses, so scriptures I have, all right? So, first of all, I want y'all to know that men, God see y'all, okay? He sees you and he strengthens you when you are weak. So, for Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, again, if y'all want to put this down as your notes or whatever, I'm referring to Isaiah 40, 29 and 31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. God knows you're tired, okay? He isn't surprised by your exhaustion. He expects it. He knows what he has handed you. You were never meant to carry the weight of your household alone. That's why he gave y'all us, okay? Y'all were never meant to carry this all alone. You're not alone. And leadership doesn't always mean self-sufficiency. It means daily dependence on the one who never grows weary. You have to depend on God daily. When you are weak, he is absolutely strong. Okay? Second scripture. I want you to know also your identity is not in your performance. I said that earlier. Your identity is not what you give. Your identity is not how much you spend. That's not your identity. Your identity is not that face you put on in public. Okay. God says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. God says, I'm in this with you. He said, you ain't got to worry about yoking up with nobody but me, because when you yoke up with me, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to get you through. I'm going to strengthen you along the way. He is the best teacher and he's the best father, period. Happy Father's Day, Jesus. You do your biggest every day. So with that being said, I want you to know that it's okay. It's absolutely okay to feel weak. And that's where his strength works best. He doesn't invite the strong. He invites the burdened, the scared, the tired. When you feel like you're failing, he's not asking you to do more. He's asking you to come to him. That yoke that you feel, those ties and those restraints that you feel, he wants to carry that with you. He wants to carry that for you. So next scripture, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So you shouldn't even be complaining that you're tired. You should be excited that you're tired because you know who's going to pick it up for you. You ain't got to carry it. Literally give it to the Lord. And he doesn't want you to be the perfect man or father or provider. He never demanded perfection. He only wants your surrender. That's all he wants. That's what means most to him. His power doesn't flow through the image of strength. It flows through humility and honesty. You have to be honest with him and know that you are not alone because God will fight for you. He absolutely will. Next scripture, Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. When you are a leader, when you're a father, when you're a husband, It can feel lonely at times, but you're not fighting alone. Whether it's providing for your family, protecting them spiritually, or simply, you know, just staying sane and not going crazy and being emotionally grounded, God is in that fight with you. He knows it's hard. He knows he equipped you for this, but he literally built you for this. And your effort matters more than your perfection. It absolutely does. And that's the same speaking from a woman. We don't want you to be perfect. We want you to be consistent. Be who you are to us consistently. And if you are weak, that is where we can, that's where that 50-50 come in. People think 50-50 is financial. No, 50-50 is in that weight that you carry. Because once you're married, you're one. So therefore you're yoked up with your wife. So therefore when your leg hurting and you lagging a little bit, you got a little limp going and the yoke shaking, that's time for her to carry that weight for real. That's why you have to be mindful of who you yoke up with. Next scripture, Psalms 37 and 23 through 24. Yes, I told y'all I had the scriptures. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. He got you. You might fall, but you're going to be in his hand always. He's not measuring you by any type of checklist, not even the checklist you have for yourself. He's walking with you every single day, ordering your steps every single day, even when you're unsure. So a couple things you can do when you're feeling overwhelmed. For one, pray honestly, not just with your head, but with your heart wide open. Tell God that you're scared. Tell him that you're tired. Tell him you feel weak. He already knows, but he wants you to express it to him and lean on to him and not your own understanding. It's so easy to fall into the comfort of pulling away, of going into recluse, of sitting there and putting a wall between you and the people around you. But that's not what he wants you to do. And also, make sure that you are in contact and in communication and in relation with other godly men. Be around people who can grow you. Be around men that you want to grow and be like. Fathers are not always biological. You've had a football coach that might have been more detrimental and more making more pivotal changes and poured into you more than your actual father. You could have had a church member that was more like a father to you, giving you and pouring into you in the way that you needed, that you never felt before. Make sure you are aligning yourself with people who can sit there and support you in those type of situations, okay? You don't have to carry it alone. Get quiet with your word. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm not in my Bible. I'm not into that. I love the Lord. The Lord knows my heart. This and the third. You cannot continue to know scriptures from other people. The only time you ever heard the scripture was out of the mouth of somebody else. Get into that word. It's literally the keys to the city. I'm telling you, it's the keys. Get into it and know it yourself. Even if you start with like a short devotional every day, but dedicate at least 5 minutes to getting into that word to strengthen you and build you. That is the tool. When I say the biggest tool, that is the tool. That's how you stay strapped, by having your word. That's how you're going to get order in your home, by knowing that word and implementing it. That's how you're going to run things for real. That's how you're going to be him. Halle said it first. Remember that. Big sis. But also rest without guilt. I told y'all, if the man in my life, I'm going to tell him, sit down. The Sabbath is not for luxury. It's a command from God. Sit down. He wants you to rest because he also wants you to know and be humble and know that you are not God. He is. He got it all covered. You can sit down. You can be cool, right? So in closing, I want you to know that God has chosen you for your family, not because you're perfect, because he will be glorified through your imperfection. He will be seen through you being vulnerable. God will be in the room when you express these things and trials you've been through and you show them that you came out on the other side. Yeah, my daddy wasn't there, but I came out to this. I'm here for you. No, my daddy didn't take care of my mom, but you show your kids that you're caring for their mom. Even if you're not together, show her respect, even when it's hard. even when it's hard, because the standard that you have to adhere to is not man-made. It's not that falsified expectation that your granddaddy and your daddy and your uncles gave you. It's literally from God. You adhere to that and you're going to be straight regardless. Okay, set the standard. You run this. You that dude for real. Set the standard, stand on faith, and watch how everything aligns for you, okay? You're still the man for the job regardless of your imperfections. On your worst of days, you are still the right man for the job because he called you to do this. He called you to have these children. He called you to lead this home. He called you to lead that woman in your life in the best of ways. He's trusting you with what he's giving you. Okay. So you're not failing at all. You're fighting. And God is right there with you. So again, I hope this was able to bless someone. Y'all know I always end up talking in circles at some point and going off on a tangent, but I really want someone to get something from this. I want you guys to know that you are so loved and so appreciated. And if you are in a situation where you ain't feeling that, baby, reassess it. Okay? Reassess it and get some things shaking and moving. But I think that it is so important for us as people to really try our best each day to be the best us, continue to make our life align with God so we can come together and form these connections that are literally of the Lord, that not only change and pour into each other, but they change and grow and pour into our children. We are raising the next generation, and I will forever stand on business and say that a father is so important in the home. And that is me coming from a single mom who is in the home with her kids doing it daily on my own. Okay, I know the importance, and I will forever respect that dynamic, and I'm praying that the Lord gives me that person in my life as well, because you want your kids to not just see their mom working hard and pouring into them and showing up for them. You want them to see a man loving their mom as well and pouring into them as well, whether that is their biological father or not. Okay, so make sure that you are doing your absolute best even on the hardest days, and when you feel your weakest, please confide in the Lord if you feel like you can't confide and nobody else. And don't let nobody talk you out of going to church. Don't let nobody make you think that you're weak for going to therapy. If you feel as though you need help, please seek it. When I tell you, I will far more enjoy being a listening ear for hours and hours and hours than attend another funeral of a black man that did not feel heard or cherished or needed. I mean that from the depths of my soul. So yes, per usual, this is Halle Monique signing out. Y'all have an amazingly blessed week, and I will see y'all next episode.